Officially begin, and tonight the topic of the shiur is going through the motions, a study of when and why we sit, stand, and bow during tefillah. We daven all the time, hopefully, and many of us are in shul all the time, and we do things, and tonight we're going to try to focus on why sometimes we're sitting, standing, bowing, and just reviewing, just in case there's a point in the davening that you're not so sure what to do. Or that now you'll be empowered to share the knowledge with someone else who comes into shul for the first time. It could be a little strange that we sit, we stand, we sit, we stand, we bow, we take steps back, take steps forward. If you don't know, then it could be a little strange. So we're going to hopefully try, and hopefully everyone will gain. So really, I thought to start just in the beginning. You wake up in the morning, and you start your prayers, you start your davening. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos, in the first short source on your sheet, Daf Samach Amid Beis. So the Gemara actually says what used to be. We no longer follow this practice, as we're going to see, but what it used to be is that kimis ar, omer alokaina shamashana satabi. Right when a person would awake, they would already start saying the bracha of alokaina shama, and the Gemara there quotes basically the entire text of the bracha that we have in our siddur. And the Gemara goes on to say, ki shama kol tarnagola, when you would hear the sound, right, upon waking, you'd start hearing the sound of the chicken. Lema baruch Hashem asan lachsach vivina lechem beinum veinlayu. You'd make the bracha that Hashem gave the ability for the rooster to recognize the difference between day and night. Pasach eine, when you open up your eyes. So far, you woke up, you heard that, now you open your eyes. Lema baruch pokeach ivrim. Ki saritz v'yasev, when you straighten up and sit up in your bed. Lema baruch matir asurim. You'll make the blessing that Hashem allows a person to have their limbs moving. Ki lavish, as you're getting dressed. Lema, say the bracha of baruch malbish arumim. Hashem clothes those who don't have clothes. Ki zakif, when you stand up straight or sit up totally straight. Lema baruch zokif kfufim. Hashem straightens those who are bent. Ki nachis la'ara, you put your feet down on the ground and you begin to put your weight down on the ground. Lema baruch roka ha'aretz al hamayim. That Hashem went ahead and set the land to be on the water, that there's solid land for us to be on. Ki mazge lema baruch hamechem mitzade gaver. When you start walking, you make the bracha of mitzade gaver, that kind of firms up the steps of man, that we could actually walk. Ki sayim mesane, when you're putting on your shoes, lema, you say the bracha of shasali kol tzarki. Hashem gives us everything that you, all your needs. Parenthetically, there are some who don't make that bracha on Tisha B'Av. They wait till they change their shoes, and then they make that bracha, because leather shoes are real shoes, they say. Ki aser hemine lema baruch ozer Yisrael b'gvura. When you put on your belt, you say the bracha of ozer Yisrael b'gvura. Ki par sudra al reshe, when you would cover your head, either with some type of hat or something like that. Lema baruch oter Yisrael b'safar. Hashem crowns Yisrael with glory. Kimasha yade. So far, you haven't yet washed your hands, apparently, because now the Gemara says kimasha yade. When you wash your hands, lema baruch asher kedishanu mitzvosavanu al netilas yadayim. Even though it's not in the context of eating, there is a context of netilas yadayim in the morning for tefillah. So when you, and then kimasha ape, the last thing in this list, when you wash your face, then you say the bracha of Hamaver Chevle Shena Meinayus Numa Ve'Apapai, the whole Yiratzon ending in the bracha the way that we end. Some of the key Rishonim take out the word Chevle, which is why you don't recognize that from our bracha. So it sounds like in the times of the Gemara, there was a whole procedure and many motions were involved. And you were making brachas in many different positions. But we run into a little bit of a problem. But a little bit of a problem is, as the Shulchan Aruch notes in source number 2, Achshav, nowadays, and presumably, I don't know if it was just nowadays, how it existed in the Gemara is a big question, but he says, Achshav, nowadays, Mipnei She'ein HaYadayim Nikios, when we wake up in the morning, our hands are not considered to be clean enough to recite a bracha, V'gam Mipnei Ame HaRatzos. Also, there are so many people who they won't know what to do. If we have them making a whole list of blessings in the morning, they're not going to follow the order. She'enam yodim osam, therefore nahagu l'sadrim v'esakneses. Now we set all of those brachos. Where do we recite them? The correct place to recite them, it sounds like, is in the Beis HaKnesses, in Shul. And the Shulchan Aruch even presents it in a fashion of v'onen amen acharehem v'yotzen yidei chovasan. there will at least be some segment of the population that won't know how to make these brachos. They'll listen into the chazan, they'll say amen, and through saying amen, they will fulfill their obligation, seemingly, to say these brachos upon waking in the morning. The Mishneh Berurah, in source number 3, he says, right, this is Chafetz Chaim writing in the late 1800s, early 1900s, Ubizmanenu, haminug shakol echad mevarach befnei atzmo. The practice is that every single person says a bracha for themselves, these what we call the birchas hashachar, vein hashatz motzi shum adam. And the shliach tzibur does not fulfill anyone's obligation. However, there are times where a person would like to fulfill their obligation with the chazan. For example, if you didn't sleep. If you didn't sleep at night, there's a whole debate whether or not you need to make these brachos again. Most decide that it's better not to make your own bracha. Even though you have a renewed thanks in Hashem that you have shoes, that you have clothing, that you have all these things still are. And some even explain these are not necessarily personal things. Even if a person didn't necessarily have these things, they exist in the world. And they're thanking Hashem that they exist in the world. But the best idea is not to say the bracha yourself. Most times, you only come to this on Shavuos morning, when not everyone, but many people stay up. So there specifically the chazan has in mind to have everyone to be yotze, to be motzi everyone, and people have in mind to be motzi with the chazan, they plug in together and the amen works. If you yourself, you're a physician, you pulled an all-night shift, and you're coming straight in the morning for, you finished at 6, you come here for the morning minyan, what you would need to do is you would need to tap the chazan on the shoulder, or if you're on that side of the mechitza, say something, and tell them that this morning, have me in mind. Because the normal procedure, as the Mishneh Berurah says, is not necessarily to have someone in mind. Now, what should be your position during these brachos? So in the Siddur Beis Yaakov of the Yavetz, of Rav Yaakov Emden, which I don't have for you here, he writes as following by the Birchas HaShachar. He says, Klal biyadcha is like a general principle in our hands. Kol ha-brachos shehein shevach v'hoda. Any bracha where we're giving praise and thanks to God, ne'amaros ba'amida. It's set in a standing position. The honor of saying a shevach, saying a praise, saying a hodah, saying thanks to Hashem, you should be standing up. So therefore, the birchas hashachar that we say in the morning, all these brachas that were mentioned by the Gemara, again, in the time of the Gemara, they did not say them standing, which you're kind of having a debate. But if it's a shevach to Hashem, you should maybe stand up. I think what the Gemara was going for is that it's almost a greater shevach to Hashem to make the bracha about being dressing as you're getting dressed. As long as the other concerns, like your hands being clean enough to say a bracha, was not a problem. Birchas HaTorah is also part of the brachos in the morning. So the Birchas HaTorah, as you see in source number 4, the Aruch HaShulchan, he notes the following. He says, a beautiful thing about Birchas HaTorah, and it's a little ironic, after you hear his description of Birchas HaTorah, what he tells you about your position in terms of your body. He says, Birchas HaTorah gedola ma'od ma'od. The bracha that we make over the Torah in the morning is very, very great. V'chachmeinu zal, the rabbis of the Talmud tell us in the Darim, shemipnei avon zeh char v'eretz Yisrael. One of the reasons why Eretz Yisrael and the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash happened was because they did not properly make Birchas HaTorah. How you understand that Gemara is really, you can give a whole shiur about that, but it shows how important Birchas HaTorah is. D'bazeh horu she'ein kedushas HaTorah chaviva etzlam. By not making a bracha before they learn, they basically were showing that the study of Torah is not unique to them. Who makes a bracha before they study certain, you know, mathematics or history? Science. Those are wonderful things to study, but people won't make a bracha before it. So too, they studied Torah like it's just another subject. They studied it like other things. When the Torah is actually the most desirous and most precious item that Hashem had. It brought Hashem joy before even the creation of Shemayim and the Aretz. So he says it's the most amazing thing. Skip down to the bold, the last part in source number 4. After saying how it's so amazing, you have to be so careful with it. He says, no, you can actually choose your position. You could say it while sitting, while saying, while standing. What I've seen in my life, most people I've seen who I respect, I've seen them say it while standing. Again, going with the idea of to stand in honor of the blessing. But if you would, and here the Shail Shem Tshuvas Yaskel Avdi that I don't have for you, he says you should treat the bracha of Birchas HaTorah like a regular Birchas HaMitzvah, like a regular bracha we make before we do a mitzvah. We know there are different types of brachos, and it's kind of hard to fit Birchas HaTorah into a box. We have a bracha that we do before we do a mitzvah. You're about to shake lulav, so you make Asher Kedishan Mitzvosvanu al Netilas Lulav. That's clearly a Birchas HaMitzvah. But then you have a bracha like, you know, thunder. When thunder happens, you make a bracha. That's a Birchas HaShevach. That's a bracha praising Hashem's power. What is Birchas HaTorah? It might actually be a little bit of both. So the Yaskel Avdi says to treat it like a Birchas HaMitzvah. Every other Birchas HaMitzvah, you stand. The person who makes the bracha on shofar is standing. The person who makes a bracha on Megillah is standing. The person who makes a bracha on lulav is standing. So too, Birchas HaTorah, you should be standing. We are not going to talk about any of the positions you should have while saying karbanos, because we're going to devote, hopefully, a whole shiur to karbanos. So what we're doing is we're forwarding in the davening, if you have it in your mind, to Psukei de Zimra. Psukei de Zimra is considered to be, right, if you translate the words Psukei de Zimra, it means verses of song. Psukei de Zimra is one complete unit of tefillah. This complete unit of tefillah begins with Baruch She'amar, and it ends with Yishtabach. Depending on your nusach ha-tefillah, so there are some, everyone has some level of preparatory response, that preparatory psukim before the official Psukei de Zimra begins. In Nusach Ashkenaz, they say just the paragraph of Mizmar Shir Chanukah Sabayis. In Nusach Svard, they actually take all the paragraphs of what we call Hodu, and they place it before Baruch She'amar, which means if you daven in Shtibel, officially there's more time that you're allowed to talk, because you're only not allowed to talk when you say Baruch She'amar. I am not super familiar with Eidut Mizrach and all other Sephardic, real Sephardim, not Nusach Sephard, all traditions, and therefore this comment, as well as most of my comments, are unfortunately biased towards Ashkenazim. I apologize. So what about Psukei de Zimra? So we start with Baruch She'amar. The Rama in source number 5, which is on page 3 in your sheets, the Rama in Shulchan Aruch says v'nahagu la'amod kishe'omrim Baruch She'amar v'yivarech David v'yishtabach. The Rama says there are three parts of what we would call Psukei de Zimra that a person is supposed to be standing for. This is Ashkenazic practice. You should stand for Baruch She'amar, which is the opening bracha. Stand for the paragraph of Vayivarech David, which comes soon after the set of the Halalukas, and stand for Yishtabach. Those three things you should be standing for. In many of the Siddurim that we have, whether it be Art Scroll or the New Koran Siddur, many times they give you that instruction, stand here. The Mishnah Brura in source number 6, source number Vav, says Baruch She'amar, he explains, Shevach Zeh, Tiknu Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. This is a very ancient prayer. The prayer of Baruch She'amar goes back to the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. The Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly, lived between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the establishment of the second Beis HaMikdash, and the years of Golus, and then the establishment of the second Beis HaMikdash. They made all of our set tefillos, the Shmon Esrei, the Kiddush, the Havdalah, and Baruch She'amar, they put in place as well. And it's a fascinating story. Al pi pitka denafal min shmaya. There was some type of letter that fell out of heaven. Whatever that means. Umatso, and the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah found it. Kosov bo, they found it and was written by it. V'yesh bo pe zayin tevos. It was some type of prayer that had 87 words. V'simanu rosho kesem paz. Like the pasuk says in the fifth parak of Shir Ashirim, that the kind of the head, his head, and the he in Shir Ashirim is it's a mashal for Hashem, that his head is so adorned with beautiful gold. Ratzaloma rosh hatfilahu, bracha shall pay zayin tevos. The head of the prayer that begins our prayers, the first of the prayers, should it be this bracha that has 87 words, al kain. Ein legroa v'lo lahosif al pei zayin tevos. You shouldn't take away, you shouldn't add. Make sure it only has 87 words. So if you're really bored one day, take out your Baruch Sha'amar, count it, and see that it's 87. And if not, you write a letter to the editor. V'nachon l'omro, me'umad v'afilu b'yichidi. The minhag is to say it by yourself, even if you are davening alone. So if you're davening in shul, everyone's going to be standing up. If you're davening at home, you should also stand up. So why would you think there's one?
Yes.
I'm not exactly sure. I thought of that also, but I'm not. I didn't know. Maybe some aspect. So some want to explain the idea of Baruch Sha'amar. It has a lot of praising. Some say it's similar to Birchas Hagomel. By Birchas Hagomel, it's also a bracha of praise. Maybe that has something to do with like a difference between public, because you would only do that in public. the same focus about even a yachid is going to be said again in source number Zion when the Mishnah Berurah talks about yishtabach. So the Mishnah Berurah also mentions the idea to say yishtabach. He writes in source Zion. He's referencing what was earlier said, that even someone who's davening by themselves at home should stand up when they're saying yishtabach. There's some that maybe in this situation of Baruch Sha'amar, that might have been minhag. Standing for yishtabach might be even a higher level. V'chein kasav agra, the Vilna Gaon writes that v'chein kasav betaz. This is a separate practice. They're similar. De nohagim anshei ma'isa lamod kishomri mishtabach bein b'shabbos bein b'chol v'afilu b'yichidi. Even when you're by yourself. Again, even when you're by yourself might be that it might be something you don't think about. You have to have it more on your radar when you're by yourself because no one else is doing it. And Mishnah Berurah notes something beautiful about, we said something beautiful about Baruch Sha'amar, about Yishtabach, you'll notice another number. Kol hatesvav shvachim shebishtabach, min shir v'shvacha ad me'ata. So there are 15 praises of God. Those 15 praises, yizar ma'od shalo lahafsik b'neim. You shouldn't have any type of interruption between those 15. They should be said straight. V'hamafsik on shogadol. Says that someone who interrupts, that's a great punishment. You don't have to go nuts. You don't have to say it in one breath. It doesn't have to be like the 10 sons of Haman, which is, you know, a challenge. Here it's 15. It's not just 10. You don't have to do that, but you're supposed to say it. It's one unit. So that was Baruch Sha'amar. That was Yishtabach. Now the Rama also mentioned that you stand for Vayivarech David. The Vayivarech David that you stand for. So the Mishnah Berurah notes in the next source in Ches. You don't have to stand for the entire Vayivarech David. You stand for Ad Sheyomer Atahu Hashem Elokim. And at the same time, the Arizal says that when you say Va'ata Moshe Bakol, Nashan Tztaka Mu'umad. Va'ata Moshe Bakol, when Hashem is ruling over all, that's an important part. That's an important time to give tzedakah. Because if Hashem rules over all, then the money that we have is there to do good, and so we go ahead and give tzedakah. And some people see a connection between the standing and the tzedakah, but you don't have to continue standing. We generally, the practice has developed, and I didn't really see an explanation for this, that we're going to mention in a minute that people stand for the Shiras Hayam, for Az Yashir. So since you're standing for Yivarech David, and about, on a good day, 60 seconds later, you're going to be saying, 60 seconds later, you're going to be saying Shira Sayam, and you're also going to be standing. So sit, stand. So we stand for the whole thing. But for the recitation of Vacharosim Habris and Vayosha, those paragraphs, I didn't see anyone. I didn't see something. We could obviously do more research. Okay, so that's another connection. Now,
what is the importance of the rest?
I don't know. Okay, so some people see the connection with giving tzedakah. So either you're standing to give tzedakah, or you're standing in honor of your friend who's giving tzedakah. There's an idea to stand when someone's going to do a mitzvah. There's an idea to stand. They used to, when people would come to bring the Bikurim, so everyone would like arise and greet them. My Rabbi Shachter says that's the reason why we stand when a chassan walks down the aisle. Why do you stand? So normally people say, oh, a chassan is doma lamelech. A chassan is compared to a king. That's only after the wedding. God forbid, this would be a horrible situation. The chassan's walking down the aisle, makes a beeline for the exit and leaves. He's not doma lamelech. He's doma to something else, but he's not doma lamelech. So why would we stand? So most of us stand. Why do you stand? Because everyone else is standing, and you can't be the
see.
You want to see. That's a different thing, right? So most of us stand because everyone else is standing. So Rabbi Shachter tried to explain that we're standing he's on his way. When someone's on their way to do a mitzvah, we stand in honor of that. So it could be the standing is to honor those who are giving tzedakah.
So why do you think in our show we get stuck there and stuff out of shots and two or three people will get up and push the
Moshe? I don't know. Well, we don't send around the tzedakah at that point. Maybe we should.
No, or just keep it out.
So there you'll see, right. I guess people do what they saw. So if they saw their parents do that, they do that. Say again?
Well, then why are we standing on Shabbos?
Great question, right? There's no tzedakah on Shabbos or Yom Tov.
It's an activity here versus Shabbos. Meaning, like if you're davening, you're going to have to interrupt your davening to focus on getting tzedakah, right?
Right.
So, because there's a shot.
Hopefully our third chair is going to focus on communal responses. It could very well be you're supposed to be so focused on Chazar Shasat, you shouldn't be thinking about Tztaka at that point.
And if that was the case, it wouldn't be accustomed at all to it.
It gets printed in a lot of the Siddurim.
On Shabbos, some people have a minute by the Yakamosha to pick up something and sort of call it a king as they move it, as if they're giving the Nedra to give the Siddur as well.
Okay, that's interesting.
The Nedra to give the Siddur to Rav Shabbos.
No, during Vayivarech Davening. Now we missed one point in Davening, and that's Mizmor Lasoda. Mizmor Lasoda is chapter 100 of Tehillim, which is said in both Nesach Hashanaz and Nesach Sfar. It's said right before Yehi Chavod. So the Shari Tshuva in source number should be 9. It just might be a little got a little mixed up, but it's the top of page 4. So the Shari Tshuva quotes an idea to say Mizmor Lasoda. He quotes from someone who I wasn't familiar with, Mahari Sruk, Kasav B'Shem Mahari Sruk, Mizmor Lasoda Me'umad. A person should say Mizmor Lasoda while standing, and says, V'Kasav Shalafi Mashal B'Parshas HaTamid. The Parshas HaTamid, which we didn't talk about, it's supposed to be said while standing, and that has to do with Karbanos. And Mizmor Lasoda also has to do with Karbanos. You should also be standing. But then he negates it, and he quotes from the Arizal, who actually said the opposite, right? B'Sefer HaKavanos, which is written by the Arizal, She'achar Amiras Baruch Shamar M'umad Yoshav Yomer Mizmor Lasoda M'yushav. You should actually, the exact opposite. The Arizal felt you should be sitting for Mizmor Lasoda. Our practice is to stand. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, written by Shlomo Gansfried in source number 10. So he says, Mizmor Lasoda Omrim Ba'amida, you should say it while standing, uvesimcha, and with joy. Shehu b'makom karban toda, it was in place of the karban toda, the Thanksgiving karban that was offered in the Beis HaMikdash. V'chein min vayivarech David ad Hashem Elokim, like we saw before, yomer ba'amida. V'chein hashira, here uniquely, the earlier poskim, at least that I saw, did not mention az yashir, but the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch does. V'chein hashira yomer ba'amida v'kavanu v'simcha. You should say the az yashir while standing, again with intent and with joy. So we saw from Baruch Sh'amar through Yishtabach where you should be standing at any point, at any other point. So it doesn't make a difference if you choose to stand. Right? Some people are tired in the morning; they'll be able to focus on their davening better if they're standing. At any other point for Ashri, for the Halukas, it's really what kind of floats your boat. If it's better for you to stand, you stand. If it's better for your Kavana to sit, you should sit, right? Sometimes sitting is easier to say many words, depending on what goes with your kavana. We're going to save talking about what your position, bodily position, should be during Kaddish and Baruch Hu, because we're going to hopefully have a shiur about Kaddish and Baruch Hu. So we're moving on to talk about Birkas Kriya Shema. Right after Baruch Hu, the next words you say after Baruch Hu, start the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, you're already starting the first of two brachos that come right before your recital of Kriya Shema. The beginning of this first bracha can be said in any position, meaning you could say it while you're sitting, you could say it while you're standing. But inside the first bracha, it's probably one of the longest brachas that we say, because it starts with that bracha, and it ends with Yotzer Ma'oros. It ends at the end of Yotzer, right? Right in the middle, we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. It's the first of three times in our davening that we're going to say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The Mishnah Berurah in source number 11 cites Ukedusha Zu Im Efshar Tov Lomar Miyushav. If possible, you should sit down to say this type of kedusha. Most explain any of these thought processes about something like this is for mystical reasons that someone like myself is not going to understand. So it's some type of Kabbalistic mystical reason. The Be'er Hetev quotes an approach that you shouldn't be, if you are going to be sitting, it should be sitting way in advance. Let's say from the beginning of the bracha you should be sitting. He writes in source 12, Kasav the Ramah, Menachem Azari Mipano, says, Bekedusha zu imhaya yoshev, the Omeid Harizatoa. If you were sitting and then you jump up to stand up by this Kedusha, by the Kadosh, 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 that's a mistake. Avalam Haya Omeid Vyashev, Nikar Sheino Chacham. If you're standing and then you sit down, that shows that you're not a Chacham. Magan Avram Kasav B'Shem Akana, Dafka Miyushev. The Magan Avram, similar to the Mishnah Berurah, says you should sit down. So, again, a person could try to sit down. For this you should sit down. The rest of, as you transition out of that kadosh kadosh, the second bracha of Shema could be said while sitting or while standing. We have the practice to cover your eyes when you say Shema. That's also the shear is going through the motions. So this is part of the motions. Taking your hand and covering your eyes. Shulchan Aruch in source number 13 says, V'nohagin litein yedehem al pneihem b'kriyas pasuk rishon. The minhag is to take your hand and put it over your face when you say the first bracha, the first pasuk. Why? Kedesha lo yistakel b'davar acher sheminog l'mil chavin. You shouldn't be looking at anything else to ruin your kavana. It's extremely important when we say the first pasuk of Shema, we're beginning, it's a mitzvah saseh, to say Shema every day in the morning and the evening, and it's important to say it with kavana. So while limiting distractions, the best way to limit distractions is to use your is at least to cover your eyes. Obviously, then we're stuck with our thoughts, which can also be distracting. That's part of what we work on. The Mishnah Berurah in Source 14, Yodalad, says Yad Yamin. You use your right hand to cover your eyes. There are some poskim that talk about what should a lefty do. Some poskim still say a lefty should still use their right hand to cover their eyes. And this is also for some, looking around the room, for some people this is more important than for others. If you wear glasses, poskim actually talk about there is not a need to take off your glasses or go like that. You could, people don't want to get their glasses dirty. So whatever works for you, you can do. But you don't have to remove your glasses. Covering your glasses should be fine. During the actual recital of Kriya Shema, Shulchan Aruch notes in Tesvav 15, Shulchan Aruch says, Koreata mahalech, o omed, o shochev, o rochev al gabe behema. You can say Shema any which position you like. You want to say it while you're walking, you could say it while you're walking. You could say it standing, you could say it sitting, you could say it while riding on an animal, o yoshev sitting. Everything's fine. Except the following. Poskim talk about the following concept. In the morning Shema, if you're sitting, you should not stand up right before you begin the Shema. And in the evening Shema, if you're standing, you shouldn't sit right before you say Shema. Why? The machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how to understand the psukim of B'shachbacha u'kumecha. Beis Hillel's of the approach B'shachbacha u'kumecha teaches us when we should say the Shema. B'shachbacha, when you lie down at nighttime. U'kumecha, when you arise, that's daytime. So it's telling you when. Beis Shammai argues on Beis Hillel and says, no, not when, it's how. At nighttime, how to say Shema? B'shachbacha, lie down and say Shema. In the morning, how should you say Shema? Kumecha, stand up. The halacha follows Beis Hillel like most cases. And the Gemara specifically on that topic says that someone who tries to follow the Beis Shammai is actually doing wrong. The opinion of Beis Shammai is a valid opinion for us to study. It counts as Talmud Torah. But once the halacha is set like Beis Hillel, you have to follow Beis Hillel. So if you're standing there at the Shema of evening, and you sit down specifically, it looks too much like you're trying to follow Beis Shammai. So just what it sounds like is, to avoid this problem, just pick your position. Just decide beforehand. Do you want to sit? Do you want to stand? Many people will choose to sit even for the Shema, regardless of when the Shema is happening, because of Kavana. Even though it's mutter, even though it's allowed for you to say, right? He said you could say it while riding on a behemoth. The commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say, let's say you're not part of a caravan where you're going to hold people back, but you're in your car and you could clearly pull over and say the Shema with your car off, car parked. It's obviously much better than saying the Shema while driving. But mi'ikar adin, according to the law, you can pick your position. The most important part of our davening is the Shmona Esrei. When it comes to Mincha, when it comes to Mariv, we focus on the Shmona Esrei. It's basically almost all about the Shmona Esrei. Shacharis, the most important part, is the Shmona Esrei. In Source 16, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, and this is something that will be connecting to hopefully one of the other shirim that we're giving, HaTfilah hi b'makom ha-karban. Tfilah is in place of the karban that were brought. U'lechein tzarech sheli zahir, shetei dugmas ha-karban. It should be similar to how a karban. So you need to have kavana. There has to be proper intent when you bring a karban. You can't be thinking about something else. Excuse me. You can't even be thinking about a different karban. If you're bringing karban A, you can't think about karban B. Like a thought that would ruin the karbanos. Why do we stand during tefillah? Tefillah, which is shmona, the main part of tefillah, which is shmona esrei. We stand in our shmona esrei. It's comparable to the service of a kohen gadol, of a kohen. That when you stand up to say your shmona esrei, shachris, mincha, mariv, you should think like you're a kohen in the Beis Hamikdash doing avoda. That's why you're standing. It's that important. So that's where we see the idea to stand for the shmona esrei. But I was sitting for shema. When do I get up? When should I actually stand up? So at shachris. And this, I think the Mishabura does mention this. I forget if I do have it. So if you flip back and forward, keep you awake. In source number, on page 6, source Yod Ches, 18. So the Mishabura says, on the third line, Kasav Bedarki Moshe Mea Maharil, Hayanag Lamod B'Shachris L'Tfilas Yod Ches. In the morning time, when do we stand to start our Shmona Esrei? When do we stand? Matai She'yaskal Hashatz Tehilos L'Kel Elyon. When the chazan gets up to the words Tilos Elyon, that's your cue. Stand up for your already for your coming Shmona Esrei. Uve Mincha Kishayerid Hashatz Lefnei Ateva. By Mincha, it's when the chazan goes to start the prayer service. Uve Arvik Kishayaskal Hashatz Kaddish. And by Mariv, it's when the chazan begins Kaddish. There are other poskim outside of the Mishabru who say the same thing by Mincha. That by Mincha, you could still be sitting for the Ashrei that comes before the Kaddish. And again, when the Chazan starts Kaddish, that's your cue to stand up for your Shmona Esrei. What we do before we take our Shmona Esrei is we take three steps. We take three steps back, three steps forward. How does that come to be? So the Ramah mentions the idea to take three steps forward when you're beginning your Shmona Esrei. Why would you want to take three steps forward when you begin your Shmona Esrei? So in source number Yud Tes 19 on page 6, the Darkei Moshe, which was the Ramah's comments on the tour before he ever wrote before Rav Yosef Kairo ever wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a commentary on the tour called the Beis Yosef. Before the Ramah ever wrote his notes to the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a commentary on the tour called Darkei Moshe. So the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe. So in source Yud Tes, he quotes, and this might have actually been said in a drasha very recently in our shul, not by me, the Kasef HaRokeach, the Rokeach, who's one of the Baliatosos, the Kshiach votes L'Espalo, when you want to daven, meaning when you want to stay Shmona Esrei, Yelech Lefan of Gimel Psios, you should walk in front of yourself three steps, the Ksiv Gimel HaGashos L'Tfila, there were three times in Tanakh that it talks about coming close, approaching in prayer. Vayigash Avraham, when Avram was davening for Sodom, it says that he approached Hashem. Vayigash Yehuda, when Yehuda was approaching Yosef, he was also praying. Vayigash Eliyahu, and then when Eliyahu Har Carmel, Eliyahu also says a language of Vayigash. So the three languages of approaching a king in prayer, that's why we take three steps forward. How should you take your steps? How should you take your steps forward? So the Mishnah Berurah first says that the minhag has developed not just to go forward, but to actually prepare yourself for going forward by going back. So you should first go back, and then you'll take your steps, and then you take your steps forward. So we'll talk about that in just a minute, because the rules and regulations of taking your steps are learned from the end of Shmona Esrei. The steps that you take to end your Shmona Esrei actually inform how you're supposed to take your steps in the beginning of Shmona Esrei. During Shmona Esrei, you'll look around shul every once in a while. You'll notice that a person needs chizuk in this area. I'm not saying it's your job to tell them, but a person needs to daven Shmona Esrei with their feet together. The feet need to be parallel, and the feet have to be together. Shulchan Aruch says it in Sadi Hei, Aleph. So it's the last source on page 5. So you just have to flip back for a second. The bottom, Yod Zayin, Shulchan Aruch says, Yichavin raglav ze eitz al ze. A person should have their feet exactly next to one another, b'chivun. That means parallel and same, right? Not right foot in front of left foot. Ki ilu einam ela echad. It is as if you only have one foot. Lihidamus l'malachim. To make yourself like angels. So a lot of times that's the popular reason quoted. But why would you want to be like an angel? Right? The Chsiv Behein V'Ragleim Regel Yishara, they have one straight leg. Why do you want to be like an angel specifically when you're davening? So the Mishnah Berurah notes in source 18, in source 20, towards the bottom of page 6, Mishnah Berurah says, why do you want to be like an angel? Shekevan Shemedaber Im Hashchina. Since you're about to talk to God, you're talking to God's presence. Sarach lasale kol machshavos haguf milibo. You have to not think about your body. You have to not think necessarily about your physical self for a second. Uladamos kilu hu malach. So you should kind of project. You should think of yourself as a malach. A malach has no physical needs. And therefore, va'afilu imhayu yoshev ba'agala. Even if a person is on a caravan, or where we would be, on a plane, on a train, and you need a daven, and you're sitting, mikomakom yichavein raglov. You should still put your feet together, right? There's a whole debate what you should do if you're on a plane. Should you get up and daven with the minion in the back and disturb everybody? Or should you stay in your seat and daven while sitting? If you choose to daven while sitting, you should still have your feet together. Because the feet together is to make us feel like malachim. Not because we want to be angels, because we want to be focused like angels.
But the essence of the Shmona Esrei doesn't really have to be being like an angel. They're very personal prayers.
You shouldn't be, maybe it's saying that you shouldn't be distracted by your current physical body. Even though you have physical concerns, you need parnasa, you need refuah, you need Yeshua. Those things, but you shouldn't be distracted by your body. There's another idea that a malach always has one mission. So the same idea that when you're davening, you have one mission now, to be davening, not to be involved in other pursuits. So Halacha also talks about that this idea of standing with your feet together is you should try to be freestanding. You shouldn't be leaning on something, even lightly. Ideally, if you can. Obviously, for those who are in need to lean on something, so there's an idea that if you... some people say that if it's not such a problem, if you would take away the item, that you wouldn't fall. But if a person was in a situation where they needed to lean on something, first of all, they might feel more comfortable. Not everyone feels comfortable saying Shmon Esrei while sitting. I saw this very recently. I had a student, he had a serious break in his leg. And for the first couple of days, he sat for Shmon Esrei, but he was very uncomfortable. So, he started, when he had enough strength, he stood. Even though, he had to have his leg resting on something, he stood. I don't think that was for any halachic reason. It was a psychological reason. So halacha recognizes that. So if a person needs to have a cane or something like that, they can say Shmon Esrei in that situation. But outside of that, you shouldn't be saying Shmon Esrei while leaning on a shtender, on a table, on a chair. You should be freestanding. A very important topic to talk about is bowing during Shmon Esrei. Bowing during Shmon Esrei. What bowing is, and this would be good if we had a video because some people are listening to a recording. Bowing during Shmon Esrei is not that. There are rules and regulations for bowing. I don't know. Maybe we should make cards and print them in the shul, and they should be there. Because if someone comes in, there's no way to know this without learning the halachos. And you'll see we have many people who've been coming to shul for a long time. And it's, again, you have to learn these halachos in order to know them. We've actually gone over them between Mincha and Ma'ariv here in the shul. But, there are only so many people who can come to Mincha Ma'ariv. Where do we bow? So the last source on page 6, Shulchan Aruch says there are four official places where we bow during Shmona Esrei. We bow by Eil Bracha Sheshochan Ben, Ba'avos Tchila V'Sof, the first Bracha of Shmona Esrei, Avos, the beginning of the end, Uvhoda Tchila V'Sof, and by the Bracha of Thanksgiving, again, at the beginning of end, by Modim, the beginning and the end. Mishnah Berurah says later on, I just thought it was a little bit daunting, if you're not going to take this seriously. Again, I don't know what this means. But the top of page 7, Mishnah Berurah says, Isa b'Gemara, the Gemara says, Im lo kara b'modim, if you don't bow down at modim, nasa shidro nachash la'achar shavashanim. After 7 years, presumably after you're not living anymore, your spine becomes a snake. Take it. It doesn't sound good. So therefore, we should bow. What I have for you in the heading of source 23, which is really source 24, there's a phenomenal sefer on the laws of tefillah. If you're comfortable with Hebrew, it's written in a very understandable Hebrew. And the sefer is called Ishei Yisrael. It's similar to one of the most famous halachic works ever written in our modern times, which is the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, the Laws of Shabbos by Rabbi Neuwirth. And so many people who have written halacha svarim pattern themselves after that sefer. That was the go-to sefer. And so here's a Hilchos Tefillah, very much patterned after that. So he talks exactly about how you should be bowing. In Chafei, I couldn't find it on this source sheet, so I took a picture and put it in. V'seder hachriya kachu. This is how to bow. Kishar omer baruch, when you say the word baruch, yikra b'birkav. That's when you bend your knees. When you say baruch, you bend your knees. U'kushomer ata, when you say ata, you bend over to the extent that your vertebrae are bent. Post can write about how it doesn't have to be extreme. You don't have to be head doesn't have to be parallel totally with your belly, but your back should be bent so that there's an arch and that your vertebrae are kind of sticking out. The yamod kach ad shiyigil Hashem. You should stay at that position, from the time you say the word Ata till you get to Hashem, va'az yiskof atzmo. That's when you make yourself straight, right before you say the word Hashem. So obviously the ad sheyagia, there's not that much time, unless you're, really going slow there. But you have to have, all three have to be checked. Baruch, Ata, and Hashem, all have to be in place. So that's by the first bracha, that's by the beginning of Avos, when Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Avraham, and the end of Hodah. That's the way you do that. Ukushomer modim is a totally different way. Yichra rosho v'gufo b'vas achas. No knees. If you see anybody's knees, the knees don't play any role in the bracha of modim. So if the NFL referee was there and using your knees, the flag comes out. No knees. Only back, go all the way down. Vivas achas, in one instance. Korea, when you bow down for modim, yichra b'mihiris b'vas achas. It should be quick. You don't need to get like seasick, but you should be quick in one motion. Ukeshazakuf, as you're straightening up, atzmo yourself, yasa kein b'nachas. It should be a little slow. Tchilas arosh v'acharas kol gufo. Kind of a little bit like a curve. Your head goes up, and then your body is straight. Again, before you say the word Hashem. You don't say the word Hashem in a bowed position. You say the word Hashem in a straight position out of respect. We have a long-standing practice that in Slach Lanu, a person takes their fist and taps their over their heart by the word Chatanu and the word Fashanu. I never heard of this minhag till I prepared for the shir, so here's one of my very new things. I never heard that on days when there's no Tachnun, some people don't do like that. I don't know what that's about, but on days that they don't say Tachnun, so Chol HaMoed, Erev Shabbos at Mincha, figure it out. Places where we don't say Tachnun, they don't go like that. Okay. Now at the end of Rishmona Esrei, after you say the second time the pasuk of Yula Ratzon, there's also a bowing that takes place. It's not the official bowing of Shmona Esrei because Shmona Esrei is over. The bowing as you're bowing, and we'll maybe go out of the text just to make sure we hit everything. As you're bowing, you should be taking three steps back. So you're doing two things at the same time. You're bowing to end your Shmona Esrei, and you're taking three steps back at the same time. Why are we bowing? So Shulchan Aruch says the bowing that we do is like an eved going away from his master. You finish your Shmona Esrei. How do you walk away? You walk away kind of backwards and with bowing. The Mishnah Berurah says something powerful, that the three steps that we take is to correspond to three steps that Nebuchadnezzar took to honor Hashem, and it was that honoring of Hashem that allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be the one to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You ever wonder, why is it that the second we take three steps back, what's the first thing we daven for? We add a little tefillah for what? For the Beis HaMikdash. Where'd that come from? We davened for Yerushalayim already. We said Asamach Tavid. It connects to the three steps. We take our three steps back to kind of fight against what Nebuchadnezzar did. So we throw in an extra tefillah about the Beis HaMikdash. While you're still bowing, so you bowed, you took three steps back, and you're still in a bowing position. So according to Shulchan Aruch, you just turn your head to the left, and then to the right, and then straight, as you say, Osa Shalom B'Romov. Hu Yasa Shalom Aleinu. So Osa Shalom B'Romov is to the left. Hu Yasa Shalom Aleinu is to the right. And then straight again, still in the same bowing position, is V'Al Kol Yisrael V'Yimruami. V'Al Kol Yisrael, sorry. V'Al Kol Yisrael. Many have the practice to extend the bow into the directions of left, and then to right, and then straight. Why would left come first? We always go with right. Why does left come first? Because who are you talking to? You're talking to Hashem. You're talking to the Shekhinah. Your left is right. Your left is Hashem's right. So first you honor Hashem's right by turning to your left, and then you go the other way. So depending on what your minhag is fine. If you follow the Shulchan Aruch just to turn your head, that's fine. If you do a separate bow in each direction, also fine. At that point, how did you even take your steps back? You took three steps back. How do you take steps back? There are rules and regulations for taking three steps back. You can't do whatever you want. Sometimes you're in a shul, it could be like ours, where you don't have that much space. Let's first talk about a situation where you have as much space as you want. If you have as much space as you want, you take your weaker foot. So if you're a righty, that's your left foot. If you're a lefty, it's your right foot. And you move that foot. They were equal during Hol Shmoneh Esrei. You move that foot so that if you're a righty, I'm biased. If you're a righty, take your left foot and bring it back so that your left toe is touching your right heel. Mm-hmm. Then you take your right foot, have your right toe touch your left heel. That's step number two. And then you bring your feet to be equal for step number three. And the same thing would be going forward. When you're going closer to Hashem, you move first with your dominant foot. When you're moving away from Hashem, you use your weaker foot. The same idea why some people take off their tefillin using their left hand. Because when you're going away from Hashem, you want to show that you're reluctant. So you do it with whatever's a little bit weaker. So now that we know how to take our steps back from Shemoneh Esrei, which seems to be a little stronger of a practice, again, either because it's Eved going away from a master, or like the Mishnah Berurah said in Vilchanetzar, when the Rama says to take your steps forward in Shemoneh Esrei, same exact thing. You set up with the back. Now, if you don't have enough room, the first idea is to try to go to the side. Try to go to the side, either to your left or to your right. If that's not possible, because not only do you not have room this way, there's a person standing there and a person standing there, you could take smaller steps. You could take smaller steps, but again, it should be the same number of steps. When we finish our Shemoneh Esrei, by Shacharis and by Mincha, we recite Tachanun. The Nusach Ashkenaz tradition of reciting Tachanun is to call Tachanun Nefilas Apayim. You actually fall on your head. The old practice was to be like on the floor with your face on the ground, and with the basic idea behind it is you want to try to say, God, I don't know how you're going to answer my prayers, so I'm going to do everything. I'm going to sit, I'm going to stand, I'll bow, and I'm also going to fall on my face. We no longer fall flat on our face on the ground, but Nusach Ashkenaz has the idea of kind of falling on your arm to show that you're in a fallen position. What's important, and this is, you know, gets into a little bit to our jacket rule here in the shul, maybe we need to have a sleeve rule, in that you're not supposed to fall on your bare arm. Falling on your bare arm is considered like an extension of your hand, and it would be like going like that. So what you're supposed to do is you have your arm covered with a shirt, which is okay in the winter, but in the summer, if you wear polos, so I actually saw a picture in Eretz Yisrael that they had it for a chazan purposes. They had sleeves that you could just put on. They had a rule that the chazan should at least have sleeves. So they had like these little just things that just go on your arm, like armbands. So when you go ahead and you finish the Tachlin, so you're saying it with your head down, Sfaradim happen to not have this tradition at all. Sfaradim say Tachlin, but without falling on their faces. when you get to the paragraph, Va'anachlu lo neda, basically Va'anachlu is saying, we don't know how to approach you. At that point, you do stands. So Tachlin itself actually had all three parts. It started with the head down, then you're just in a regular sitting position, then you stand. By Uvalet Zion, it's the third time that we said Kedusha, so we'll hopefully talk about the Kedusha of Chazar Sashatz a different time. By that third time of saying Kedusha, what's called Kedusha de Sidra, there are sources that say either way, so whatever you pick, you should be careful to say it. You should be careful to say it. You shouldn't, and Shulchan Aruch says specifically, don't leave Shul before they say the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in Uvalet Zion. It's important, but you could say it sitting or standing. And the final piece for tonight is Aleinu. Aleinu, the Tefillah of Aleinu, is said while standing. It's considered to be a great praise of Hashem. It was composed by Yehoshua, and therefore, since it's such a great praise, and like just how we started, the way that you praise Hashem is in a position of standing. So I hope this tonight's shir has helped us to realize what position we're supposed to take when we pray, and everyone should have a good evening.